it's a whole nother ball game. Welcome every what? Welcome up, dude. Third time. Welcome everybody to the Chop Sports Show here on a Feel Good Friday. It is Friday, September the 3rd, 2021. 1 week away from the greatest day of the year, and that would be my birthday. 36, getting old.
The greatest day of the year is 100%
opening, not my birthday,
opening
no.
day for the NFL, and either that's where I thought you were going with it, and I was like, his math is definitely a little
no,
bit
off. This time next week, I'll be coming in here flying high because the Dallas Cowboys would have beaten the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's where I'm at.
Today is the day that everybody has been waiting for, man, woman, child of all ages.
Friday?
No, bro, it's Certified Lover Boy Day. Drake dropped today.
I listened.
Wearing my purple shirt in honor of
Certified
Lover Boy. I'm going to get the heart buzzed into my head.
First of all, I listened to three tracks. I wasn't interested at all.
Well, there's 38 tracks.
Well, that's so, what I'm saying. I only have time to listen to a certain amount of tracks. Like, I was listening to that, but I was like, you know what? It's Friday. The weather's nice. It's roll down your window type weather. Taylor Swift was the play.
Don't be the guy to make that mistake and say, I'm not going to, the Drake album sucks, because you're going to catch yourself around October, mid-October, bopping your head to a Drake song.
I don't even
know. Not realizing that it's even a Drake song.
I'm not even a big Drake guy. Like,
I've never been a Drake guy either.
Honestly. I used to really not like Drake, but then like a couple bangers here and there, and I'm like, this is all right.
Let's think about the amount of hits Drake has right now.
He does. He has a million. He's like,
I was a Drake hater for a long time. I went to a Drake show. And Drake is the man.
No, Drake is all right. I prefer Taylor Swift.
I would imagine that's Ashley saying that some other man is her king.
Oh boy, that's grounds for fighting. Anyway, welcome everybody to the show. I hope you guys are doing well. It is almost the weekend, Labor Day weekend of all weekends. So a lot of people have off Friday, Monday, or 4 day weekends, or whatever they want to do. But I will say, programming note: we will be here on Monday to at least do the show, because that's how we do. We don't, no days off here at Chop Sports. It'll just be a day that we stop at 12. So yesterday was fun. We stopped.
Probably won't be able to stop at 12. I'm sure. Jimmy,
I mean, there's no shot that we stop at 12.
And have to record his podcast on Monday.
Oh, that's right. He comes in earlier now because, yeah, all right.
Well. So I'll be here for about 3 hours.
Okie dokie. There was college football last night. I don't know. Did you watch any of it?
I did not. I don't see anything on the rundown. Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, you do. It was Ohio State, Minnesota.
When you don't look at the
forgot.
Rundown.
I watched two documentaries last night. The Dallas Cowboys put together really good documentaries. They're called like the Deep Blue series. I watched Jesse Holly's story, in which I don't know if you saw the post. But we have a celebrity amongst Chop Sports now, and that is Mr. Grasso.
Well, they've been
Chop Sports
for quite a while.
They've been Chop Sports royalty this whole time, but like to see him on DallasCowboys.com, that warmed the heart. That was really cool. He talked about Jesse Holly. Jesse Holly, obviously, a feel good story for him. I mean, the guy went from, you know, getting cut from the Bengals, and then he joined Michael Irvin's show, which was what was it called? Fourth and Long. That's why his Twitter handle is Mr. Fourth and Long. He won that show, in which if you won that show, you got a chance to try out for the Cowboys. And then he made the team, wound up starting for the team. Like, it was a great story. And it's funny.
When Russo was on, did he talk about how bad the Bears stink?
No, but we'll talk about how much the Bears stink today as we cover the Bears and the Packers today on a Friday. There's a lot going on, but I did watch a little of the Ohio State game. I'm not worried for Ohio State, but is that a normal thing to give up 31 to Minnesota, even though they beat them by 14? But like, to give up 31 to Minnesota in opening week, like, I was glad to see, you know, college football back and seeing the fans in the stands and the interviews. Like, the post-game interview was like a mic in the face,
you might see a little bit of this tightening up in Division I college football this year, because if you had a senior last year that was NFL ready, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, they lost a lot of seniors and guys to the draft, whereas the Minnesotas of the world are all going to have their fifth-year seniors back now because they lost – They didn't lose a year of eligibility last year.
So they probably, you know.
So it's almost the equivalent to me of where you see the mid-majors every 4 years in the NCAA tournament really do well. This year, you're going to see a lot of teams like the Minnesotas of the world, maybe the Rutgers of the world, the Marylands, do a little bit better because of all their fifth and sixth-year seniors.
That's
on that.
They gave them a run. I think they still covered, though, so it doesn't matter. But I was just, like I said, I was glad to see all the interview, my, like the post-game interview with the quarterback, which I can't remember his name, but it seems like Ohio State has themselves a decent quarterback after the departure of Justin Fields, which is good. But yeah, same style, runner, thrower on the, like, running gun type quarterback, scrambler. But it was just good to see like a mic in the face rather than like 15 feet apart where you're like, hey, you know, and they're not touching the mics or whatever. You know, it was just good. It felt normal.
Where was the game played? Ohio?
Yeah.
It was at Ohio State?
No, maybe not. I think that was the one that was in Minnesota. You would have known if it was in Ohio State. I feel
like a lot of those distancing rules are going to depend on
where you are,
where they're at.
Yeah, so. Well, depends. But yes, so college football back. I'm going to breeze over the fact that the Mets put Zach Scott on administrative leave, which means what? Does he get paid? Is he getting paid leave?
Probably.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Get a DWI, get paid leave. That's fun. But Alderson, Sandy Alderson, back in the saddle.
My take on this is I just realized about 2 days ago when this guy got arrested that Alderson wasn't the GM of the Mets. I always thought he was. So I guess nothing changed in my book. He's just back to being
this
the
is,
GM.
To me, this is a step. This is a step in the wrong direction for the New York Mets. But well, obviously,
that's a given.
They have to. They have to, you know, weather the storm and get rid of some of these bad seeds on the team. But they, listen, a couple guys made mention on the comments that it is one of the biggest fantasy football weeks of the year because, like, I know there's a lot of drafts that already happened. My draft, Joe Angelo's draft. The Chop Sports draft happens on Tuesday. So if you're listening to this and you're in on the draft on Tuesday, feel free to come by the studio and but make sure you bring your laptops because this is all going to be done online, but in person. Bring some beers, do whatever you want. We'll get some food. But yeah, yeah, we're excited about that.
There's not going to be draft boards up.
No, because it's just there's no room for that. Draft. I mean, there's
we're going to just do the hold your laptop, write your picks down if you want, but no draft room.
Maybe we'll go live on Facebook and we'll kind of stream some of the picks and stream some of the happenings.
We got to figure out how we're going to work it logistically in terms of that because there's going to be two separate drafts, but we'll figure it out.
I mean, yeah, I mean,
I don't think it's going to matter because it's going to be.
I don't think so either. There's enough seating. There's obviously this studio. There's our other office.
And,
there's the mid.
And
there's
about
there's
six
a common
or seven
room.
People will show up.
How many?
Six or seven.
You think so?
Yeah, it's a
there's 16
night.
Teams in each league. That's 32 people. I want to say 10 show up. I'm going to go with 10. So in any event, it doesn't matter. Somebody said won't be there. Well, sorry. Sorry to hear that. But yeah, so a lot of fantasy stuff. There is a fantasy football podcast that is on our network now starting last week, the Fantasy Guy podcast with our, you know, I didn't even introduce us again. It's Sturch, it's Gooch, and of course, it's the fantasy guy himself, AJ Bascone. What would you call him? Big Body Bascone?
Big Body Bascone.
Big Body Bascone is back. He is our, no, Big Ben will be in the house. Oh, no shit. Like, you got a choice, Ben. We know you're going to be here. Bring some beers. But yeah, so it's fantasy time. A couple drafts already came and went, so some of this advice won't help you because you already drafted your team. But if you're going into this weekend and you need some advice, we do have three football minds on this podcast, specifically driven towards fantasy football, is AJ and the fantasy warlord himself, Chris Gucci.
AJ has the podcast, but I have the wisdom.
The stature and the hardware. You got like rings and stuff.
He's got some rings, I'm sure, as well.
How many fantasy football championships have you won, AJ?
Upwards of eight.
Eight fantasy football championships?
Upwards, yeah.
Wow. Gooch, what about you?
I mean, I'm not going to... I got a lot more than that. But
do
I've
you?
Been, I've been doing it
damn,
a lot
bro.
Longer,
I got like
a lot longer than
I think I got two. Ever. Which,
I'm
okay,
talking
it doesn't,
in,
it doesn't
in
say
the history,
anything about
history,
my knowledge.
In the history of my fantasy career, eight? Come on, bro. I do eight leagues a year sometimes. It's not even... this isn't...
So what would you say the percentage is of the championships you win every year? Like... If you're in eight leagues, how many championships?
I have not won a championship in 2 years.
Oh, boy.
In,
the drought.
Fantasy football. Yeah.
Drought.
I've taken second a ton. I'm a silver medalist across the board in fantasy football.
Somebody said you have the fantasy football pedigree. I mean, does your dad play fantasy football? Like, what's that mean?
I guess that might be my brother.
No, that was Ben. That was Ben Wexler. Oh, yeah. Up to 34 people on the Survivor Pool. That's up in the announcements in Chop Sports. That's a lot of money for a Survivor Pool. Dude, I don't even know how much it costs, but it doesn't matter. Get involved there. 34 people are now involved. Let's get that bitch up to like 50, maybe even 100 by the time we kick off on Thursday. So spread the word about that. Big Chop Sports Survivor Pool. But we go into fantasy football. But first and foremost, let's talk about a guy that made his return to some contact drills yesterday. And this is prominent to fantasy football, and that's Mr. Saquads Barkley. All right, Saquon Barkley returned yesterday with first contact drills. He did say, and I quote, taking it day by day. To me, that's alarming. I don't know why. I feel like if you're confident in your ability and your return, that you're like, yeah, I'm ready to go. Let's go. Let's rock this. You know, but like he's like, oh, you know, I'm taking it day by day. That to me is alarming. And I think Giants fans should kind of be alarmed with that. Any thoughts to that? Just based off that was his words, not like coach or trainer. That was him.
I try to not put too much stock into it with a guy that's coming back from an injury like that. Mm-hmm. It's a little early. I mean, not really. He tore his ACL early in the season last year.
Correct. Right? So it's been a while.
Back. I think he's ready. I think there's something to the New York media where you would, what do you think Derek Jeter would say? He would probably be like, oh, we'll see. I'll take it day to day. He's just not divulging any information. It might be the Joe Judge, Bill Belichick approach.
Uh-huh.
Where just don't talk to the media about your injuries. Say nothing. Less is more. And if Barkley goes out there and plays well, it's not going to matter what he said this week.
Yeah. Well, he's another one that, like a Dak Prescott, did not get any live game action this preseason. And while the preseason has ruined, you know, four or five running backs or even more than that as far as, like, positional players, Bakhtiari, you know what I mean? Like, things people go down because of preseason. I think that Saquon probably should have, I don't know, man, just get in there. Like, I don't, like, I understand it's a very, very big risk. And what we've seen with Etienne and Akers and these guys dropping off the face of the earth because of preseason football, you almost need those mental game reps. That game speed is not going to be the same as simulated when you're at practice with your own team. Your own team is not laying the wood. You know what yeah, I mean? But he needs to get popped.
These are guys that have been playing football their whole fucking life.
I get that.
I can't see Barkley going out there and being afraid because of a knee injury. He's probably had several knee injuries or injuries in his career. You don't make it to this point in your career, I think, and have the need of a preseason. There's just no way. The guys in the NFL, they come back and they're
fine. I'm not
fine.
Saying that like it's going to improve their skill. I'm just saying it's gonna get their feet psyche, wet. Their
maybe,
psyche,
maybe.
You know.
But you know when his feet will be wet? As soon as he gets popped week one. You know, I don't think it's going to really.
It's like a re-welcoming into the NFL.
He'll be more sore. I guess he'll be more sore on Monday.
Yeah, maybe. But
I guarantee Barkley shoots up in the ADP this weekend.
We'll see because we're going to talk about that right now. As a matter of fact, it is Fantasy Friday. We'll call it Fantasy Friday today. AJ, I know there's been drafts that you've already done, and there's probably drafts that are still coming up. You obviously are involved in the big old fantasy football draft here. There's knocking at the door? No,
they're doing some work downstairs.
Ah, yes, okay. They're making us a new studio. Is that what they're doing? We're just going to take a third office here? But we got, there's a lot of stuff, good values, bad values, some sleepers, some risers, some fallers, the guys that you don't expect to, you know, guys who are touted all the way up until right about now, and then their stock's starting to drop. So that's definitely, we're going to touch on that too, because I think it's, you know, prominent to anybody that's drafting this weekend. Ben's already commenting that, you know, Barkley screwed him last year. Of course he screwed everybody. Anybody who owned McCaffrey, Barkley, like, these guys are hurt. I mean, of course, it's not really a screw job. They didn't do it. It's like, you know, it wasn't a personal vendetta, you know what I mean? They got hurt, and that sucks, especially for the Giants. I mean, they need a running game this year to function. I'm not a believer in Daniel Jones. I think that, you know, he has to prove it this year, if anything at all. We talked about the Giants already. Last week, but Daniel Jones, this is a prove it year for him. Like, he needs to show that he's worth the high draft pick that the Giants spent on him, and I think that, you know, it comes this year. They gave him weapons. They gave him another tight end because the one tight end, you know, Ingram can't catch worth a shit, so they get you Kyle Rudolph. You know what I mean? You got that. You got great receivers, I think. You know, a lot of those guys that aren't talked about are like the Slaytons and the Shepherds of the world. You know what I mean? Everybody's all over Galladay. But I'm thinking, like, those guys have been around longest, so the rapport should be even better. The Giants' offense could potentially be good. It just all depends on Daniel Jones. I won't even say Danny Dimes because that's so dumb. It
all depends on several factors, though, I think. The offensive line.
Offensive line is shit.
Saquon Barkley's health. Kenny Galladay's hip. There's a lot of questions.
That's another thing, though. Just like, did you say that? Bro, Saquon Barkley coming off an injury, right? And you knew that. The Giants organization knew that. You're telling me you don't want to improve the offensive line at all? It's one thing to keep Jones upright, but like another thing to like totally disregard your star running back.
Easier said than done.
All right, we'll see. It's up to him. It's up to him. All right, so we'll start. Good values. Guys that are, I guess, being, what does that mean? Drafted late?
So basically, what I'm going to give a couple quarterbacks that I think if you miss out, obviously, I think people have done their homework and they have their rankings for the top 8 to 10, maybe 12 quarterbacks. These are guys that I think if you miss out on one of those guys that you should shoot for or somebody that you might want to pick up as a backup.
Quarterbacks, you're saying.
Quarterbacks. I want to go through the whole fucking every position, really.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. We're getting really in-depth. Okay. Let's do it.
AJ's got some as well, right? What do you got for us, AJ?
What do I got in terms of the QB good values? In terms of a good QB value, a guy that I really like this year is Ryan Tannehill. So right now he's being ranked as the QB10, and he's been very consistent over his career, especially over the late stretch with the Tennessee Titans, throwing the ball. He's sneakily a pretty good fantasy producer. He's been top 10 over the past 2 years, and now with a bad defense and with Julio Jones stepping into the offense, I think that there's even more potential for him to grow this year. If you miss out on the Herberts, the Rodgers, I don't see why a Tannehill wouldn't be a great fit for your team.
I said that to my dad, I think. I think he grabbed Stafford when Tannehill was there, and I was like, I kind of would have went the other way. I would draft Tannehill over Stafford.
I think I would value Tannehill over Stafford, but as soon as those quarterbacks are gone, and I do rank Tannehill in the top 10, I'm talking outside the top 10, I got Hurts and Stafford right there. I know you're probably not going to like the Hurts thing. But,
it's not that I don't like the Hurts thing. I'm just saying I think that the kid needs
more
weapons.
I think with as bad as the defense is, they're going to be forced to throw the ball a lot, and he could do a lot of work with his legs. I think if you look at the top 10 quarterbacks last year, 8 of them had 200 rushing yards. 7 of them had 500 rushing or 400 rushing yards. So the quarterbacks that run the ball well are the quarterbacks that typically do well in
fantasy. And he doesn't have design runs. He could just go.
He could just take off. Sure they will design some runs. It's a new coach. It's less of an old school approach. I would imagine they're going to draw up some plays for Hurts out of the backfield. Scam likely, leave me alone. All right, bro, 15 a day I get. Scam likely.
Well, they're just making sure that you can get the extended warranty on your car,
and
bro. Come
we
on,
got
give
Stafford
him a break.
Is obvious. Obviously, I think he's one of the sexy picks going into the season. As far as I honestly think Stafford could play himself into the MVP conversation. I don't think he'll win MVP, but you could see him finishing around 5th because they're loaded. I think the loss of Cam Akers definitely hurts, but it also in some ways might help because now they're going to be relying on throwing the ball a little bit.
Does that help my Robert Woods? Because I'm looking to trade him 4 times already.
The problem with Robert Woods is it's not a PPR league, and that's where he's a beast because his average...
Unbelievable.
Yards per catch is
two
like,
standard
isn't
leagues.
That high. So I think he's averaging like 13 or 14 yards a catch, but he'll have 100 catches. So you don't get those points for the receptions. It kind of screws you there.
He also doesn't get in the end zone all that much either.
But then my two late round flyers that I see, Jameis Winston could potentially be a top 6-7 quarterback this year when it's all said and done.
He's got nobody to throw to.
Honestly, at the end of the year, you say he's got nobody to throw to, but at the same time, he's got Kamara. And
so
you don't
just,
know.
You're just relying on the dump and the go.
Let's just see how it plays out. I have a feeling that Jameis Winston, there's some potential there. He could fling it, and there might be some picks. There's going to be some turnovers, but you're definitely going to see some yardage games out of him where he gets like 300-400 yards.
Okay.
And then the late, maybe last round pick quarterback, Zach Wilson. A lot of Jet fans in here, I'm sure.
Listen, I was just thinking about that on the drive down to the studio today. I'm like, you know what? Like, there's guys that you root for. I don't root for Daniel Jones. You know what I'm saying? But like Zach Wilson... You almost, like, I don't know, man. The Jets have been salivating to get something going, and they thought it was in Sam Darnold, but you kind of figured right off the rip it wasn't Sam Darnold. That feeling wasn't there.
Well, it was this a terrible coaching situation.
Correct, but this is, for Zach Wilson, I feel like, I don't know, man. Jets fans should get excited.
The Jets have some weapons. They have a legitimate receiving prospect, I would call him because he's a rookie. Elijah Moore's a beast. Corey Davis is a beast. Jamison Crowder is a beast. Denzel Mims, we'll see. Most of the Jets got
Keelan Cole.
He's another one that I'm not high on. But anyway, moving on. Quarterbacks. There's your quarterbacks, people. Running backs. AJ, who's your running backs?
So we're just like running backs and then go down the line of things.
Yeah, because we got two teams to cover. I don't want to keep.
Yeah. But I think this is for the people. The people want to hear this kind of people. Shit. So that's okay.
Yeah. In terms of a good value running back that I see right now, I see that Gus Edwards is being ranked Gus Bus Edwards is being ranked as the RB25 despite J.K. Dobbins going down. I think that. Quite frankly, my personal opinion, I think that Edwards is interchangeable with J.K. Dobbins in terms of value. While J.K. Dobbins can catch the ball better out of the backfield, that's not what the Ravens do. They don't pass it out of the backfield to the runner. So what I'm going to go ahead and say is that Gus Edwards continues to do what he does. He averaged 5 yards per carry last year, and he's a great nose for the end zone. He's going to ball out. Get him as your RB2, possibly RB3.
All right, I have a comment, and I know you're on this train, AJ. Damian Harris.
Oh, my.
I know you're all over this guy.
I'll go ahead and talk about Damian Harris, too. So Damian Harris is actually another guy that's averaged 5 yards per carry last season. And what I really love about Damian Harris now with Cam Newton out of New England is the fact that Damian Harris is finally going to get the chance to be the goal line back. He was so effective at that at the University of Alabama, and with a traditional style of offense, this man should feast. Damian Harris, the future.
All right. I got a comment here from the sauce here. Tyson Williams, running back out of Baltimore. You're welcome for the deep sleeper. I don't know if anybody had him as a deep sleeper. But, Gooch, what do you got?
I got a guy that's shooting up the draft boards, and I think it's probably for the wrong reasons, Javonte Williams. I do like Javonte Williams. I think he has a chance to be this year's Cam Akers, but you're going to have to wait on him because Vic Fangio, old school guy.
He's going
to
start Melvin Gordon.
I wouldn't say that they're going to start Melvin Gordon. I think you're going to see a split there right out of the gate. But Melvin Gordon is going to get his touches. They're paying him a decent amount of money. And Vic Fangio, like I said, him and his coaching staff, they're old school. So they're going to give the ball to Melvin Gordon 100% and make the rookie earn his keep. Trey Sermon, another one.
I hear a lot about this guy.
I think when I said this year's Cam Akers with Javonte Williams, I think Trey Sermon has a chance to be this year's Antonio Gibson. I think there's a little more roadblocks in front of him with a more established Raheem Mostert, but he misses time every year.
Mostert's a little fragile, yeah.
He's a little fragile, and that system, you don't know which guy is going to get the ball. Even if Mostert's there, you saw a couple times last year where other – was it Frank Wilson?
Jeff Wilson.
Frank. But, yeah, Jeff Wilson Jeff Jr. Frank, had some games because Shanahan will ride the hot hand. So it might be a little boom or bust out of Trey Sermon early, but once he starts getting cooking and you – have some maybe an injury to Raheem Mostert, even if he's nicked up, you'll know when you can start him. And I have a feeling you're going to get some good value there. These guys are going in like the seventh. Sermon's going around the seventh round. So I think if you miss out on the running back, that's your guy. A little bit later on, you see Tony Jones. I keep calling him Tony James.
Who the hell is Tony Jones?
Exactly. Latavius Murray. A chance that Latavius Murray was going to get cut. He wasn't even going to make the 53 man. So Tony Jones, I have a feeling, is going to be the main backup to Kamara. So all these Kamara owners out there that are going and handcuffing Latavius Murray, you're kind of leaving the real handcuff out there for guys like me who swiped them up. And then I would say the last thing I have to say about running backs, and I don't usually want to do this, and I know we're going to talk about him in a little bit, but David Montgomery. I see him going, in some cases, late third, early fourth round, which is absolutely absurd to me. He was the RB4 overall last year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. He's just not a sexy pick right now.
I agree, but he catches the ball. He does all things well. I'm not sure of his yards per carry, but they did sign Damian Williams. But Tariq Cohen is on the pup list to start the season, so it's not sure yet. I'm not sure yet what Damian Williams' role is going to be, but as of now, you got to go with David Montgomery if you see him late third round and you missed out on
these
that.
These are really good tidbits to have for a league like we have, where there's going to be 16 teams in per league. Like, you need to stock up on these guys, and they're going to fly. I've done a couple mocks with 16 teams, and I'm just like, holy shit. Like, some of the teams I'm getting wind up pretty good. You know what I mean? I'm all for it. But some of the times, if I make the wrong move once and, like, things go, like, you're just like, what? You're like, you have no idea what just happened in front of you. But, yeah, dude, these deep drafts, these are the ones to really pay attention to.
I scooped up Montgomery in two of my leagues already. Yeah. And one of them was an auction league, and I got him for his pre-draft value was somewhere around 32. I got him for 26 because I guess everybody feels the same way as you. You got to find value in these drafts early.
You're going to have to, I tell you what, if Andy Dalton is the starting quarterback for a little while, I'm all for Montgomery because he's going to rely on that. When they make the switch over to Justin Fields, which you know is imminent, that's going to happen at some point or another. That's when I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe he starts running a little bit more than Montgomery is.
And not to mention, you know, you got these I actually forgot what I was going to say.
Good call.
Well, you know what I could say to supplement? Just on top of what you're saying with the great value, you got James Robinson, Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, Mike Davis, and Daryl Henderson all going around David Montgomery. I'd rather David Montgomery.
Oh, no, I remember what I was going to say.
James Robinson is another one.
David Montgomery is a perfect back for the guys that draft the Travis Kelce, the Tyreek Hill, and then maybe even a Darren Waller on the get back in the second round.
You're going to have two tight ends?
No, I'm just saying. So if
if
you draft one of those guys early, maybe the Devontae's, if you're the guy that goes receiver heavy, mm-hmm. Montgomery is a guy that could sneak into the RB1 category for you if you miss out on the typical RB1s. I'm not going to give any more fantasy running back advice because...
But I will say this, based off the comments, they're talking about Montgomery right now, and they're saying that there's no competition for touches. I beg to differ. I think that the Damian Williams thing, coming off of a COVID exit, right? So he's fresh legs. He might get a lot of... He might get a little bit more than what you think, and with no Cohen for six weeks, that gives the door open. The door flies open for a guy like Damian Williams.
I think Damian Williams is a clear handcuff for any
Montgomery owner. Yeah.
But your league has to allow for that. There's potentially some better handcuffs out there, because even if Montgomery gets hurt and Williams is a starter, I don't really like guys like that where he's a clear backup, and if Cohen comes back, you're going to see Cohen eating a lot of those carries.
Any love for Chase Edmonds out of Arizona?
A little bit.
Not a lot, but a little. I mean, Arizona, again, that's one of those things where Kyler Murray is the one to take off first. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has a lot of attempts per game, designed attempts per game.
And they got Connor over there now.
James Connor.
Connor is the guy that's going first out of the two.
Yeah.
Between Edmonds and Connor.
I've seen it the other way.
We'll see.
All right, AJ, question for both you guys. Thoughts on Myles Carroll Gaskin?
So Myles Gaskin is an absolute beast. We saw what he could do last year. He's not only great in the rushing game, not only great at getting in the end zone, but he's a great receiver as well, and I think that's something big for Tua. If you saw in their preseason action, Tua threw him the ball five times. The guy was on the field for, like, what, two drives? I think there's an obvious connection there.
It's a nice little safety net over
with
there.
With Tua and Myles Gaskin. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is Flores saying it's going to be a full-blown committee, and I somewhat believe it because of the carries they gave a Salvon Ahmed last year and some of the other lower guys on the depth chart, but we'll see.
The only, I think he's his second white running back in the league right now, Patrick Laird.
Laird. Is Rex Burkhead employed? I think he's with the Texans, I think, Rex.
Oh, yeah. So three.
How you like that, huh? These white boys can run, especially led by McCaffrey.
I agree that Gaskin's legit. I just, the way my drafts have been shaken out,
I have McGinnis.
It's hard for me to take the back in the fifth because there's better value at, a quarterback at that point.
Yeah, moving on to receivers, in which this might be, based off the drafts I've had, this might be the deepest receiver class you could possibly draft. I mean, there is receiver... Think about it. There's 32 teams. Each team has at least two decent draftable. That's 64 receivers. Draftable.
Yeah.
I'm not saying when and where. Yeah, I'm just saying there's got, like, Cincinnati has three.
I would say in loose tiers right now. I'm not going to tier because there's obviously more than three tiers. But pretty much any of the guys 1 through 10, you're getting a bona fide wide receiver one. I'm looking at AJ Brown ranked as the 7th best receiver. You see guys like Julio going 21st ranked receiver. So, you know, the 1 through 10 is, I think, you group those guys together. 11 through 25, you could kind of group those guys together where you see, the DJ Moores, the Robert Woods. You could take your pick any week on those guys, and it depends on the matchup. 25 through 40, I think that's where you're seeing the legitimate threes. And then after that, here's where the value starts to come in.
Go for it.
All right. AJ, do you have anybody?
Somebody not in terms of really a great value, but somebody that I think is a pretty bad value this year is DK Metcalf. He's being ranked as the wide receiver 6 in some leagues. And my problem with DK Metcalf is if you look at the end of the year stretch, in his last 5 games, he scored more than 12 points in only one of those games.
That's rough. And that, you know what? Not for nothing. There's only one ball to go around. And I think that's the theory for teams like Dallas and stuff like that. But I'm thinking, like, for DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett has been consistent every year. You know, every year he's consistent. So that's definitely going to weigh in on DK Metcalf stock. Absolutely. Right. I mean, you would think.
I'm all in on DK.
I mean, DK is a freak. Don't get me wrong. He's one of the bigger dudes.
I haven't drafted him yet, but if he happens to fall to me in his spot, I'm definitely high on DK. I understand what you're getting at, but Tyler Lockett, to me, is the far more inconsistent guy. He's a boomer
bust. Really?
Yeah, he's boomer bust. Look at his game logs. It's okay. Like three. Trust me, he'll have 3 touchdowns 1 week, and then he'll have a goose egg
next. And then he'll get picked up and started the following week, and then you'll want to kill yourself.
He's a bona fide fantasy number two, Tyler Lockett. You could potentially have a real strong team if you get Lockett locked in as your flex guy. But, yeah, to the point, I'm not going to go with the bottom half yet. If you guys miss out on a CeeDee Lamb, don't be afraid to take Amari Cooper. You're seeing CeeDee Lamb go higher than Cooper in drafts, but I don't know if it's a changing of the guard just yet. Cooper is a fucking legit receiver. He's playing for his contract. I don't want to give credit to any Dallas Cowboys, but I'm all in on all the Cowboys this year on offense because their defense is shit, and they're playing in a division where they're going to be able to win some games.
Warm as my heart.
They'll be behind a lot as well because
hey, like yo, said, relax is over bad. There behind.
My but Amari behind. Cooper going after CeeDee Lamb in drafts, and I think when you miss out on the CeeDee Lamb, you should be more than happy to grab Cooper because if you're looking at Dallas scoring points, it's pick your poison with those two.
They're and go grab yourself Rain Dakota Prescott as your quarterback. Go ahead.
Next Stack receiver. That. Next receiver. Now we're going after the 40th ranked. Mecole Hardman. This guy was startable, give or take, in any given week last year, and that was with the presence of a Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins gone. Mecole Hardman slides into the number two spot in Kansas City. Obviously, they have to put a safety over each of Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
This That's leaves nice.
Mecole Hardman, who's one of the faster guys in the league, to be wide open.
99 speed, I think, in Madden. Always is.
And
both of
obviously
them.
Got Hill Pat and Mahomes, who likes to spread the ball around. Mm. There will be some bad weeks out of him. He'll be some boom or bust. But as a bi-week replacement, you could not find a better guy. Corey Davis, he's going outside the top 40. I think the Jets are going to look at him.
He's technically wide receiver one, right?
Clear-cut like, number one. Yeah. Their defense isn't going to be great. They got a young quarterback that's going to look for his clear-cut number one receiver. They just got rid of the tight end. I think Corey Davis needs a huge target share this year. And then last but not least, AB. He's going, I see him ranked 45th receiver. I think there's a chance that he, I wouldn't say leads the Bucks in targets, but there's going to be a lot of third downs where AB gets that ball.
I don't even know if he's a sleeper or a good value or however you want to put him, but I am completely on the Marvin Jones Jr. train, bro. I think that Jacksonville receiving core is so young that this is the guy that, like, Trevor Lawrence is going to be in that huddle, lock eyes with a guy like Marvin Jones, and he's going to be like, yo, I'm your guy. Let's do it. Like, and there's going to be, it's going to feast.
And something not a lot of people know is that Marvin Jones Jr. since 2017 has the seventh most touchdowns in all of football.
That's insane to me. You would never in a million effing years think Marvin Jones is the seventh highest touchdown scorer.
I think that's
guy.
Amongst receivers.
Well, fine, even if. Like, that's huge, considering all the Davante Adams of the world. And, like, this guy is a legit receiver. And by all means, LaVisca Chenault, I think he's got a good second year ahead of him. I think that, I believe they have, they still have
Chark.
DJ Chark.
Not the receiver.
Is
solid. And
he's, again, I'm all Marvin Jones'd up this year.
I didn't mention Trevor Lawrence after you miss out on the quarterbacks, but I feel like that was a little obvious.
After watching him do what he did against the Dallas backups, I'm just like, okay, he knows how to drop it in the bucket. Like, he's going to be a good quarterback in this league. I firmly believe that. But yeah, good deep dive there. So where are you going? Tight ends now?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
AJ.
You want me to stop, bud? Okay.
I can start.
In terms of a tight end, basically, with the tiers going on that I'm looking at, like, obviously Kelce, Waller, Kittle, that's their own tier. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at that second tier, I'm looking at a guy like a Dallas Goedert that could be the number four tight end this year in fantasy.
Wow. Okay.
The Bold. Philadelphia Eagles, offense last year with Jalen Hurts in the offense had a 45-55 split amongst tight ends to wide receiver targets. So with losing a Travis Fulgham, the second leading receiver on the team last year, and having Devonta Smith, who quite frankly looks a little frail right now, I'm very confident that Dallas Goedert is going to be the number one receiver on the Philadelphia Eagles and that he is going to feast this year.
I believe Fulgham came back to the practice squad, if I'm not mistaken. But again, he's not there. He's not active. So, yes, good call, AJ. AJ with the dropping the knowledge over here with splits and shit. Like, this is way more than I get involved
Tell,
in fantasy.
What is it? Kyle Kerm said CBS Sports has Dallas Goedert as a fantasy bust of the year. CBS Sports could eat me.
Anyway.
Them CBS Sports is a bunch of coons.
Anywho, I think, listen, again, I always say this. A young quarterback's best friend is the tight end. And if Jalen Hurts is going to be looking around, and underneath you got Dallas Goedert waving his arms, he's going to be a PPR monster and he's going to score some touchdowns. I hate to admit it, but that's what's going to happen. And if any team is going to be playing from behind, you know, Gooch says it's my Dallas Cowboys, it's the goddamn Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to be playing from behind, high volume throwing out of Jalen Hurts. That's my prediction. This is good. Dina Simpson all over it. The pick bish, a fantasy breakdown the day of her first fantasy draft. We are here for you guys, okay? And me, because I'm taking a lot of notes. But yeah, so that's that. All right. So anyway.
My tight ends, Tyler Higbee, Rams tight end. Last year he's been he came on strong. Tyler Higbee is the guy. And if you miss out on one of the top 10 tight ends, you might get a top 10 tight end right there. And then the other guy that I had in mind, Logan Thomas, absolute stud.
Stud.
He's like 6'11", former quarterback. He understands the way how to get open. And I feel like in the red zone, he's by far their best target. He's their biggest guy. He might be the biggest tight end in the NFL in terms of height. So, yeah.
He might be like the new Jimmy Graham or something.
If you miss out, and I know that, Dave, you might not agree with me, and this from me, coming from me, this is a lot. I feel like both of those guys might outperform Tanyan this year.
Oh, no. I took Tanyan twice.
Tanyan is very touchdown reliant. He only had 55 catches. I know that sounds like it's
but it, for me in a standard league, Tanyan is
a guy.
Great, yeah, he'll catch some. He'll gobble.
Dave does standard league, so I guess Tanyan is probably going to finish tight end number three because he only catches touchdowns. But yeah, I'm not completely as high on Tanyan as I was in the pre-draft process that I am now. Just doing a little more of a deep dive on the other tight ends. I really do like Logan Thomas. I'm high on the Washington offense. I'm high on Ryan Fitzpatrick this year as a potential stopgap option as well. And I think Higbee could be a guy that people are going to be able to trade for or trade if you get him as a backup. It's something that you see a lot of guys miss out on tight ends. And if you're sitting there in the 12th, 13th round and you see you don't know who to pick, pick up Tyler Higbee even if you have a tight end because I feel like he has some good value to trade. And same thing with Logan Thomas.
Yeah, let's go to break now. We'll come back with AJ's sports update, and we'll break down the Chicago Bears and Green Bay Packers. So with that, let's go to break. We'll be right back.
Hey, guys, this is Kim from the Goddamn Jets podcast on the Chop Sports Network. And when you're me and you have to be on camera your entire life, you want to look your best. I need to tell you guys about Lashes by Kayla. They're my go-to for magnetic mascara, liner, and lashes. That's not all. Kayla offers eyeshadows, lippies, plumpers, blush, and more. This entire line is the first of its kind to market. The formula is vegan, cruelty-free, and hyperallergenic. Shoot Kayla a message on Instagram at lashes_by.kayla or visit shop.torybellcosmetics/kaylacosmetics.com.
Hey guys, this is Keith Ernst from the NFL podcast, I'm Your Football Team. Come check out our weekly football show where we give you our shitty and offensive opinions on everything NFL. We do this often by using the trendy terminology, I'm you. What's that mean? Check out I'm Your Football Team on Chop Sports to find out. Episodes premiere every Thursday. And I'm you if you're ignoring this, by the way. I'm you.
All right, chopsports.shop is the way to support all of our NIL athletes, all of our merchandise. We are back here on the Chop Sports Show. I don't know if there's any how we sounding over there.
I think it's the cord.
Okie dokie. Well then, I don't know what you're hearing, but that's okay. If nobody's complained about it over on the Facebook Live and everybody can hear Gooch, then we're all good. We'll worry about the old technical aspect of it later. But that is the new cord, right? That's like the other cord. Or
I have no idea. I can't tell.
Yeah. All right, well, in any event, it is day 26 of our 32 teams and 32-day coverage, and we're starting today with – we're going to do a twofer here. We're going to start with the Chicago Bears to start, and then we'll end up with the Green Bay Packers. So hopefully you guys got a lot of good nuggets of information as far as your fantasy values are concerned. A lot of drafts happening over the weekend. Some people have their drafts on Labor Day. I've been a part of a couple leagues like that where they do it on the Monday of Labor Day at a barbecue or something. But hopefully you got some good stuff. If you missed it and you're just joining us and you want fantasy feedback, wait till about 12-ish, 12:15, 12:30. This will drop as a podcast and you guys can check it out there or just hit, rewind on this video as we have it. So, the Bears. A lot of questions about the Bears because first it starts up top. You know, they draft Justin Fields and this is a big splash for them, but Andy Dalton is signed and named QB1, and he's come on record and said, this is my team, let's do this. How over-under on the weeks it takes for the Bears to pull Andy Dalton? Is it just going to be based off performance, record, or just flow of this team? Where is the switch going to happen? Because it's definitely 110% going
to
happen.
It might be a similar situation to what you saw in Miami last year where they – it's not even like Andy Dalton loses the job because of poor play. They just give the job to the guy that they drafted to be the quarterback of the future. And right now, I hate to admit it, but I feel like the Bears are doing the right thing. I don't think Andy Dalton necessarily gives them a better chance to win on a weekly basis, but I don't think he necessarily gives them a worse chance either. I think Andy Dalton will make the smart plays here and there. They have a little bit of talent on the offense. I talked about Montgomery at length. I do like Allen Robinson a lot. I do like Darnell Mooney a lot. I do think Cole Kmet plays with a little mean streak, and he has potential to take his game to the next
level. Jimmy Graham's still there.
Jimmy Graham sucks. The offensive line is a work in progress, so there's something to be said about the reasoning behind it. Now, everybody is really, they want to win now. They want everything to take place now. I understand the society we're living in, and more so for football fans, specifically Bears fans. They've been dying for a QB1 for a long time. Trubisky wasn't, the turnstile has been there, been there for a long time. I think Justin Fields is clearly their guy, and if he starts in week one or he starts in week six, I don't think it's going to matter next year. I think Justin Fields has potential to be special. I hate to admit that, but the Bears are doing the right thing.
Well, the only thing I could say about this whole, not quarterback controversy. There's no controversy here. It's just Andy Dalton's your guy, and Justin Fields is the guy you drafted. That's just semantics. That's how the team is playing it. However, I will say this. Do the Bears think they're built right now to make any kind of significant run in the NFC? If that's the case, you don't want to let too many games get under your belt where you're like, all right, we're 2-4. We got to make the switch. Because 2-4 in a loaded NFC can mean that to be detrimental. It could be done.
I think the defense is going to make that team tick. If their defense comes out and plays the way they're capable of playing, then they have a chance to make a push. I don't know about making a push through the top half of the NFC teams because the NFC is very top heavy. They got some really good teams in the NFC for sure. But they do have a shot. I know they're not winning the division. We could get that out of the way now. But they have a chance to make the playoffs as a wild card. The Bears defense, like I said, can carry this team a little bit. And if Justin Fields can get his feet under him and by week 7, 8, 9 take over, you might see a dynamic offense all of a sudden. Mm. So it could be one of those things where Chicago's defense carries him through the first half, Dalton gets maybe banged up, nicked up, and then he gets Wally Pipped and just never gets his job back.
There's not enough people in this world that know about the Wally Pipped situation, and I think that needs to be.
Count me as one.
I'm another one. There's I'm sure Jimmy Palumbo, like the old school people know the Wally Pipped situation, but people should really educate themselves on that. But I will ask a question. When it comes to Khalil Mack, right, who's still an all-world game wrecker, right, he is just really good at football. Do you think that trade is coming to fruition? Like overall, do you think that it's very hard for me. I feel like Khalil Mack was forgotten, not forgotten, but
I wouldn't say that it's
pushed away to the side.
It hasn't worked because it's not like Khalil Mack doesn't get double teamed or triple teamed every single play. So in that regard, it frees up a lot for Roquan Smith to do his thing and the other guys on the defensive line to be freed up and not have to shed three blockers the way Mack does. So his stats hasn't necessarily lived up, but the Bears haven't won any playoff games either, I don't think. So maybe they won one, but no.
Lost a double.
When you trade draft picks over the course of first round pick for 3 or 4 years the way they did, and you don't win playoff games, you're in win now mode when you do that
because you're clearly mortgaging your future. Like, that's so why I feel like it hasn't worked out.
Work
yet.
Out? I don't think so.
Not yet.
No.
No.
It actually worked out for Green Bay because I know we were big in on getting Khalil Mack, and it just the way it worked out contract wise with Mack, we couldn't have signed Khalil Mack to that deal.
And been
good.
With their defense, we were talking about their defense. Akeem Hicks, amazing. Roquan Smith, really good on the come up. Their back end's very good. Eddie Jackson, one of the better free safeties in football right now. They have the capability of being a decent football team. Now, their over-under is 7.5. As we pull up the Bears schedule here, as we go, I don't know. Did you grab the Bears schedule, AJ? Oh,
of course.
Oh, it's nice and small. That's fine. But it starts with the Los Angeles Rams. They're actually the first Sunday night football game of the season. So prime time in the bright lights of Hollywood. That's going to be a tough task for the Bears to get off to the right start. When I look at the schedule, I'm looking to see where Justin Fields' debut will be. You know what I mean? That's where I look. When I look at this schedule, I'm like, okay, when is that cord going to be ripped and given to Justin Fields?
If I had to guess, based off of what I'm looking at, it's going to be the Ravens game after the bye, where they give him 2 weeks to prepare. That's probably my target.
Okay, that's good.
I'm the coach,
right? So that's a good way to look at it. But 8 games before their bye. What is the record that the Bears have to be in order to make the switch? Like, is it anything less than 500?
If I had to predict their record at that point, it's going to be 3-5.
I'm looking at wins against the Lions, the Bengals. Where else is their wins? Where do you think their third win comes?
Vegas, maybe.
Maybe at Vegas. I don't even like. I like Vegas at home. So
I think they have a tough stretch at Tampa, 49ers, at Pittsburgh. I think after those 3 weeks, they probably lose 3 straight, and it might be time to pull the cord on the whole Andy Dalton thing.
The problem is, let's just say they're 3-5 after 8, which I think Scoop Espo just said as well. 3-5 at the break, that might be enough to just say this is a lost season, because who knows? What if the Packers are 7 wins in the first 8 weeks?
There's 7 teams make the playoffs.
I know, but still, like, no way. What I'm saying. Like,
there is no way a team 3-5 with a first round quarterback waiting in the wings is a lost season. It would be
okay.
It would, you know, think about it. If you're the Cowboys and you're 3-5 and you have Tony
when
Romo,
you're playing the NFC East, that's a different story.
But my point being is, it's the NFC East is still in the NFC, so there's 4 teams right there that, you know, 3 of them, whoever doesn't win the division, you're going to be better than for the wild card. So, yeah, you know, that knocks them down a rung. You got to play for the postseason, bro. Even if you're not going to win the division, I would say you've seen 8-8 make the postseason, 10-6, 9-7 as wild card, go on to win Super Bowls. So
we got another Gucci in the house, Carl Gucci, saying that Fields will be the starting quarterback by October. That only gives Dalton 3 games. So that's how quick. Is it going to be that bad? Will the sky fall? Because potentially this, if the Bengals get off to a good start, right? Because we've said that the Bengals offense could definitely click. I don't know how early they can click, but let's just say they start 0-3. You know, if the Bears start 0-3 with a loss to the Rams, Bengals, and Cleveland, you know, maybe you even give Justin Fields that first game against the Lions, which would be a confidence booster, if anything. You bring in Justin Fields to play the Lions, and he throws for 4 touchdowns and runs one in, you're going to be like, okay, we got our Willie Beam in here. Good reference, favorite movie of all time. But we have that new culture in Chicago early, because I think the Bears have to get off to a really good start. Because when you look at that back end of the schedule, yes, you got the Detroit Lions of the world again, but and then you got the Giants at the end of the year, which who knows what the Giants will be at the end of the year. You got to get off to the right start. And I think that if they go 0-2, 0-3, Carl might be onto something. You know, Carl might be onto something where he says, like, you know what? We have a good schedule in front of us. We have winnable games in front of us. And if it's not happening with Andy Dalton right away, this could be the short leash.
I guess the beauty of it is we're about a week away from finding out how Andy Dalton does with that offense.
Kyle Kerms, Fields is overhyped. Auto bust, the Ohio State offensive line can't save you in the league, bro, with a long O on that. There's something to that. I think there's something to that. You know, Ohio State's a powerhouse, and they are, you know, they do protect their quarterbacks over there. I mean, look, Dwayne Haskins was good. You know, he got to the league, and he was like, you know, holy shit. What a letdown. But, yeah, so the over under is 7.5. What do you think, Gooch? What say you on this team? If you got them starting 3-5, are they going to find enough wins to push that over to get 8 wins?
No,
you don't think so.
No, they're not going to go 5-3 over the back end. No way. Or actually, there's more. Right? It's not even 16 games anymore.
Yeah. So I'll give them.
Looking at it, tough, I'm going to go. I'm going to go with 7 wins.
So the Bears go 7-10, according to Gooch. Now, I'm looking at this schedule, and I got 2 wins easy over the Lions. You know, they could probably play up to the potential of a Cardinals game and a Vikings game and even a Seattle Seahawks game. I'll give them 3 there, 2 there, 5. I'm going to go on the lower end of this, and I'm going to say 6. I got the Bears finishing 6-11. But there is a caveat to this. I'll say this. If they get off to the slow start, that means it's a 6-11 season is coming their way, right? But if they get off to the hot start or a relatively mediocre start where the Flores thing does happen, where like they start interchangeable parts and now all of a sudden we're just going to go with Fields because he's our guy, that 6 wins can turn into, I'll give them the over and I'll say they can win 8 games and go 8-9. But for now, with Andy Dalton listed as a starting quarterback for an X amount of time, we don't know. I'm going to say under, and I'm going to go 6-11. With Andy Dalton as a starting quarterback. You got him at, 7?
7-10.
So 7, that's under. AJ, what say you, bro?
6-11.
Okay, so my 6-11 is genius. Okay, so two people in this studio alone think 6-11 is the play. So we're going to go to AJ here, a little bit out of order. We're going to go to AJ for the sports update because we forgot that, and I'd be remiss. He puts a lot of work into this stuff, so I'm going to give it to him. Give me the sports update, and after that, we'll come back with the Packers.
Okay, so for the sports update, today, it's presented to you by none other than the GOAT, Curtis Sells Houses. Make sure to hit up Curtis Counts for all your realty needs. We got a short slate today, people, so it's going to be real quick. Mets beat the Marlins 4-3. They're embattled, so glad they won that one. Phillies won a close game against the Nationals, 7-6. A's beat the Tigers, 8-6. And the Giants get a nice victory over the visiting Milwaukee Brewers, 5-1. Let's head over to Tampa Bay, where they had an absolute eyewear shutout by the Boston Red Sox. They are able to win that game 4-0. Evan Rodriguez gets the win in that one. And then the final game that anybody really cares about is the Atlanta Braves versus the Colorado Rockies. Braves win that one 6-5. That is the short AJ Sports update today.
Okay. Yeah, shit, we're back already. Thank you so much for that one. And I'd be remiss to say, based off these 32 teams in 32 days, that is brought to you by Absolute Eyewear. Go see Craig and Janine right now. Those are the guys to go to for all of your glasses, your sports goggles, this, that, and a third. They got everything from Ray-Ban. And I can't do Jimmy's thing. He's so good at it. Like, he's Jimmy Choo. Like, he's so good. But they got all the best brands over there. Go check them out. They are on Main Street in Woodbridge. Speaking of Woodbridge, everybody better get your asses to Woodbridge. Woodbridge's home field tonight as they open their season. Well, technically it's week. Last week was week zero. I was told by Brian Casey this week is week one. They got Colonia, which is usually end of the year type thing. To open up against Colonia in Woodbridge.
It's usually a Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's kind of, to me, I'm like, oh, all right, word, let's do it. You know, let's get it going now. And I'm telling you right now, I'm looking outside the window because sometimes we turn these shades in and we just like lock ourselves in. We don't even know the weather. It is so goddamn nice out today that I cannot wait to throw on the hoodie and just go enjoy some Woodbridge Barons football. Or if you're a Colonia guy, which I know 97% of Chop Sports is, you'll be rooting for the Colonia Patriots. So now let's get into, I guess we could talk about the Green Bay Packers here on the Chop Sports podcast, because I mean, do we have any resident Packer fans in this entire thing? I think we do. Host of the Packer Pulse podcast that has not released yet, but it will, I promise, it's coming. It is the Green Bay Packers. Now, last year, obviously cut short, these are the memories that Gucci wants to be left alone, but we'd be remiss if we said the season was cut short by Tom Brady in the NFC Championship game. I think the world had Green Bay winning that game, to be completely honest with you. A shocking turn of events, a couple questionable coaching decisions, and here we are as the Green Bay Packers try to get back the NFC North title to start. Starts up top, a lot of crap being spewed all year long, all offseason long about Aaron Rodgers. Gucci was literally sitting there.
It's par for the course in the offseason drama.
But Gucci was sitting there with cold water bottles the entire offseason. Just, oh, yeah, that's a nice, sick hot take, bro. No. Oh, that's right. Jordan loves the guy. No, here's some more cold water. So it has been Aaron Rodgers the entire time. Aaron Rodgers to me, and this is not, again, I don't like to kiss ass around here. Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football. Still, to this day, don't even give me Patrick Mahomes. I still think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football, and he's the one that's leading the helm. Aaron Jones, was that new contract this year? Yes, no?
Yeah.
That was this year. So he got paid
in the offseason. I'm not sure how happy I am about paying Aaron Jones.
A running back? I know Kyle Kearns is very good on stuff like that. I love Aaron Jones,
but I understand the way the NFL works, and that's just not a – it's really not a crazy contract. They're only giving him 12 mil, 12 and a half over.
Yeah, Zeke's at like 16.
A year, which isn't terrible, but – you know, it's a little high for
that's only his second contract, correct? That's his first big deal. Okay.
And he doesn't really have the mileage that you would see coming to a guy that
always had a good complimentary back.
Yeah, they've kind of eased him into things early in his career, and I don't even think he eclipsed over 200 carries more than once. I think he only has one season. He does catch the ball a lot, but obviously it all starts up top with Aaron Rodgers. Potential another MVP season out of him. Their offensive line, bro, with no Bakhtiari early.
Not a fan.
I'm not necessarily a fan. I do believe that they have some solid guys, but they're all going to be out of position in the first 6 weeks, so I could see our Achilles heel early being our offensive line.
Okay. I mean, speaking of the guys that Mr. Rodgers is throwing it to, Devontae Adams, best receiver in football. After him is MVS, and that's Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Alan Lazard came on last year. A lot of people were excited about him. Where do you see him as fantasy ranks? Is it untouchable? Like, don't worry about it until it's absolutely necessary, or do you think this guy could be a decent number two?
I think with Funches out,
yeah, another now, damn man. I'm so upset about that.
No Funchy Bunch in Green Bay this year. Funches. I was high on Funches as their number two this year. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is, if you look at the way Devontae Adams started his career, same. Marquez Valdez-Scantling actually has better numbers than Devontae did through his first two seasons. I'm not saying Scantling is the player that Devontae is, but you know, Marquez Valdez-Scantling has a chance to make a leap this season. I think with as far as Lazard goes, he'll be that third guy out there more often than not. There'll be a lot of three receiver sets. When we need Cobb in the slot, you'll see Cobb here and there.
Can't be remiss.
But the guy that nobody's Randall talking Cobb. About that I think might come on this season is Amari Rodgers.
You're a rookie?
Third round pick this year. And
they said they don't give any help to Rodgers. Yeah, what are you talking about?
But they got Tanyan for the red zone. The Packers have a lot of height at wideout. Cobb is the only guy I think that's really under 6 foot. Maybe Rodgers.
And
too,
that was a personal request.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Lazard are both 6'4" or taller. So I feel like they're going to just be a power running team a lot this year.
And speaking of power running, with A.J. Dillon, my God.
I think
he's
a potential sleeper this year. I didn't talk about him because I don't want people to draft him. But yeah, A.J. Dillon, he's not going to catch the ball. But I think in leagues like Dave's league, you might see him vulture some touchdowns from Aaron Jones. Mm. But even last year with Jamal Williams, there was certain weeks where you knew you could start him if you needed to in a pinch because he still got his carries. Mm. But if Aaron Jones gets hurt, A.J. Dillon vaults immediately into potential RB1 category where he's going to see the bulk of the carries. Oh, yeah. And then Kylan Hill, the seventh round pick this year, who I think has a chance. I think he made the roster. He's clear cut the RB3. So Kylan Hill, hopefully he returns some kicks for us and does some things as well.
All right. Offensively, they're obviously stacked. You know, they're going to put up some points. Now, when you switch over to the defensive side of the ball, couple guys you just love on this team. And that's, for me, it's hard for me to even like these guys because I know they break my heart over and over again. But Za'Darius Smith, that's my guy. Like, I love Za'Darius Smith. Preston Smith, too. There's two Smiths. It's like Smith, it's like a law firm over there.
Watch out for Rashawn Gary this year. I think he's going to be the starter opposite of Za'Darius Smith, and Preston Smith is going to be the guy that comes in situational pass rushing things. I think Preston Smith might be better against the run than Rashawn Gary, so I'm not sure how that rotation is going to play out yet, but I think Rashawn Gary has a chance to make the Green Bay defense special.
They have a cornerback. You might have heard of him. He's okay. Jair Alexander. He's all right, decent, like middle of the pack.
Yeah, and there's good talks about Eric Stokes, the corner that they drafted in the first round, to replace Kevin King. So I think we're going to get a rookie starting opposite Jair this year, and you're going
to
see
it'll probably take Kevin King to get burnt a couple times for them to make that switch.
You're going to see Stokes play a lot, I think, in the slot. So you'll see a lot of three corners out there with Green Bay. But their secondary, I think, is a big strength for the Packers. Amos and Savage at the safety positions. I think Savage has a chance to make a leap this year, and Amos is probably one of the most short tacklers in the NFL.
Is there a better name for a free safety than Savage?
Well, maybe Smash Amos.
Smash Amos. Oh, now, look, I don't know all the nicknames. That's your squad. I don't know all the nicknames, but yes. So, look. Here's very alarming news for the Green Bay Packers. Those guys did not win a preseason game. Okay. Neither did the Cowboys. Neither did a lot of these teams. But it doesn't matter.
I think the Packers sat 31 guys in their final
they
preseason
had nobody
game.
In there.
The one thing I'm happy about with LaFleur is that he just does not believe in playing guys that aren't playing for their position or playing for their roster spot.
All right.
The Packers haven't really. Jordan Love, I guess you saw some action out of him, but when you have two quarterbacks that you.
Is that what they're rocking now? I'm actually thinking, like, now I don't even know. Is that just him and Love?
Yeah, they cut Benkert.
They cut Blake Bortles. They won't recover from that, just so you know. That is a big cut.
The boat is gone. Benkert now is signed to the practice squad.
Remember when Blake Bortles was signed? You're like, he might be the guy. I don't know. Rodgers. It's just so funny how much crap we had to deal with for the last freaking 3 months. All right, AJ, hit me with the schedule. I'm just speaking out loud.
It's a tough one.
It's not a tough, to me, this is, if Kyle the Sauce Kerms is in here still, which I think he is, he's still watching, this is the easiest for me. This is the easiest over-under to hit. They're listed at 10.5. Okay, so they got to win 11 games. I give them 6 in the division right away. I don't think any of those teams in that division beat them at all this year. They open up the year. It's a little different. They're going to be playing in Jacksonville against the New Orleans Saints. That bodes well for the Packers. You know what I mean? So that road game that you were supposed to have in the loudest dome in the NFL no longer happens. That goes well. Right off the rip, that meeting, big Gucci war on September 26th, huh? Packers and the Niners. That should be their first challenge of the year and to see how this team will develop overall. And quickly. So right off the rip in a 5-game stretch, it's the Saints, the Lions, the Niners, the Steelers, the Bengals. To me, the game they probably have the hardest time with is the San Francisco 49ers. And I think right off the, if let's just be devil's advocate, I'm giving them 4 wins. I'm starting them with 4-1. And I think the other wins will be tight. The tighter game will probably be the Saints because it's week one. A lot of these guys haven't played. It's going to take a little while to get their feet wet. But I think ultimately a 4-1 start. Then you got a couple decent games where the schedule gets a little bit more difficult. Late October, you got the Bears, which I think always is going to be a division game. I think it's going to be one of those things where they'll win it. The Packers will win it, but it won't be easy. Then the Washington football team. They're a question mark to me. I don't know what their offense is going to be capable of against a Green Bay defense. I don't foresee that being a thing. The Cardinals, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the Vikings. The Chiefs game is tough. Seattle game's at home, so I don't foresee that being tough. The Washington game's at home, so their road games are the Cardinals and the Vikings, and I feel like Rodgers in a dome is just like it's clockwork at this point.
Yeah, just looking at the schedule, right? The games that I'm looking at that I'm worried about, in the first 6 weeks, you got a tough assignment for whoever's playing for Bakhtiari when you play Pittsburgh and San Fran, right? So there's a potential that those games could get completely blown up by the defensive line on San Fran or Pittsburgh. So that scares me a little bit matchup-wise. And then when you get Khalil Mack going against Bakhtiari's backup, that's always scary as
well. Is that Bakhtiari's backup? He's out for 6 weeks, right?
He's out for 6 weeks. So the first game he would come back, it would be against Chase Young, and that's a tough draw right away, but I believe Bakhtiari's almost ready now. I think they're just being safe.
Well, no, once he's on PUP, he's out for 6 weeks.
No, I understand that, but I think that he's almost ready, and they're just playing it safe.
Gotcha.
So I think he'll be ready a little sooner than mid to end of October, mm-hmm, as far as physically, but they could use that roster spot because it's the NFL,
mm-hmm,
and no need to rush him back. But just looking at the schedule, San Fran, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Seattle, Baltimore, Rams, and
Christmas
Cleveland.
Day. Oh, boy.
And Cleveland are the games that jump out at me. And then, obviously, any division game is tough besides the Lions. I know that we should beat Minnesota. We should beat Chicago. But there's a chance that we get caught sleeping in one of those games.
I said it yesterday. Like, if for whatever reason, if the Bucks and the Packers are, like, got to have games in Week 18, that new week, like, what better scenario do the Packers have right now to be in Detroit, in a dome, in January? I mean, come on, bro. It writes itself. Dude, I'm telling you right now, the Packers are built to get right back to the NFC title game and lose to the Cowboys. And, you know, so, I honestly think that would be the end or the implosion of Chop Sports. I say about a September meeting between the family. Boy, if the Cowboys and the Packers met in the NFC championship, we almost couldn't record the day after, like, no matter what, because that's a Sunday game.
I'll be fine.
I mean, you'll be fine. I won't be fine. I mean, you'll be fine because they win. I get it.
Yeah.
I see what you did there, Gooch. I see what you did there. Ben Wexler going out on a limb here before we even make our predictions. 16-1, easy money. I'm curious to know where you got their loss. But if I had to be a gambler here, which I might dabble here and there, with a 10.5 win total, that's just, to me, it's too easy. I got their losses coming in December, mostly in December, maybe at Baltimore. That's not going to be easy in December. Maybe they struggle with Cleveland. I don't think so. I already gave them one loss in the beginning. I'll sprinkle in a couple one losses here and there. They're 13-4. 13-4, the Green Bay Packers will crush that over, in my opinion. And I'm not trying to put the hex on the Packers. I just think they're that damn good. All sides of the ball. They're going to get healthier as they go. Bakhtiari returns. That's like signing a free agent halfway through the season when they get their best tackle back and give more time to Rodgers. Like, that's not fair. But, yeah. So, I want to say that they'll be 13-4 and they'll – I don't know what AJ, do you remember what I had the Bucks at? Might have been the same.
You had them at 14-4 18.
Oh, that's right.
Schedule.
It was supposed to be 13-4, or was it supposed to be 14-3? It was probably so. Maybe the Packers are the 2 seed at 13-4. The Packers are the 2 seed.
Well, I kind of like the 13 win mark because I do see a tough schedule in front of me, but because I picked the Bucs to go 14-3, and I'm not predicting the Bucs to be the 1 seed. I'm predicting Green Bay to be the 1 seed by tiebreakers. I'm not going to do that to myself and sit here and have them be the 2 seed. So Packers will go 14-3.
Oof. All right. Big time.
They'll edge out the Bucs for the 1 seed and get the bye.
See,
that's
at least
how it's happening.
See, we're realists here at Chop Sports. You know, he's got 14-3. I had the Cowboys at 11-6. That's not out of the realm of possibilities.
If I want to be honest, I think more realistically speaking, you know, the schedule is tough. You have a lot of things to weather throughout the course of the season. I don't want to actually, like, I think that they have potential to go 14-3. They're probably going to go 13-4. Maybe even 12-5.
So you think they just get a hiccup here and there?
Yeah,
where it makes sense. Rodgers has one of those games.
There's a lot of things happening.
But we'll mark it down for 14-3 based off the projections.
Yeah,
and that's an easy NFC North title win. AJ, what say you, bro? Your job depends on it. But go ahead.
11-6.
That's okay.
That's
11
fine.
And 6.
I don't.
It's know, over. It's the over.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. 11-6 gets us in. But
yeah, no. 11-6 will get the job done in the NFC North. It'll just depend on your matchup in that first round. Looks like Scoop's got his own projection here. I like
so
the breakdown.
Got us basically losing every single tough game.
They'll lose to the 7 seed in the Packers in the wild card. He's just asking for it now. All right, so there's your Packers. So, look, the NFC North champion will be the Packers. Like I said yesterday, we're going to do, like, week by week. We're going to write them down. We'll get real records, like concrete records, and our big, big NFL preview show will be next Wednesday where we pick, kind of redo everything. So it's easy for us to go out and start looking at wins and losses here and there, and, like, the rosters that we talked about 26 days ago could be completely different than the rosters that we have now. So we're going to redo everything. We'll give that to you on a Wednesday episode. When we come back on Monday, Labor Day, we'll give you the start of the NFC West. We'll finish that off on Tuesday, and then we'll wrap it up because, boy, oh, boy, we are less than a week away from meaningful NFL football, which is absolutely crazy. Crazy to me. I feel like the season just ended. I feel like Tom Brady just threw that trophy across the pond. So anyway, with that being said, if you guys are hearing the sound of our voice and you got nothing going on Friday night, come check out the Woodbridge Barons taking on the Colonia Patriots tonight with Chop Sports in the house as well. And of course, tomorrow, finally, the Rutgers Scarlet Knights get on the field tomorrow at 12 o'clock. I know Chop Sports will have representation there. And I'm excited about that too, because look, any marketing event you can do to get the spread the word of Chop Sports is a good day for me. We have the cooler outside. You're going to fill that bitch to the brim. For Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ from the production chair over there. I almost said the couch again. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast. Have a great weekend. Enjoy it. Be safe. Be smart. And next week, it's game week, baby. It's time. Let's go.
Kyle, call me, bro. We got to sort this out.
Yes, please. Kyle,
call me, bro.